Can you comment about the issue of quality control in estrogen receptor assays, and for that matter, HER2 assays? Craig Allred from your group has taken a major leadership role in that regard. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the assays for HER2 and ER done on average in this country and around the world are not very good. They haven't been standardized. They haven't been validated against patients treated in a specific way, by and large. There are a couple of studies that have. And many laboratories develop their own assay, use their own antibody, their own technique, thinking that it's going to reproduce what other people have published. And in fact, it just doesn't. And this is well documented now, particularly in the old NSABP study, DCIS trial B24, that randomized patients between tamoxifen or placebo. When the NSABP did the analysis and looked at the ER assays done in the local hospitals, once again, we saw benefit from tamoxifen in ER negative patients, and not that much of a benefit, as you might expect, in the ER positive, suggesting there were false negatives that were being included as negative when in fact they were really positive. And in fact, when those were repeated in Craig Allred's laboratory, that's exactly what happened. We saw no benefit to tamoxifen in ER negative determined by his assay, and lots of benefit in tumors that were ER positive. And it turned out about 15 to 20% of the results were false negative. And that's a big problem when you consider that this is potentially curative therapy for an invasive breast cancer. And if 5 to 10 to 15% of the patients are being judged ER negative and not getting curative therapy, that's a major problem. And it's been very difficult to get pathologists to listen to this. Particularly the College of American Pathology and others haven't taken this by the horns to establish standardization of the assay. I'm told that there is now a committee that's being formed through ASCO and the College of American Pathology to begin to address this. But I can tell you that probably 20% of ER assays are wrong in this country today, and at least that, probably more, HER2 assays are wrong. And FISH, the inaccuracy of FISH is probably a little bit less than immunohistochemistry. It's not immune to this either. It's a difficult technique, requires expertise in counting the cells and doing the assay. So even with FISH, I think there's a sizable inaccuracy rate, and that just has to be fixed. These are assays that anybody can do, and we've shown that in our own data, that you can teach another pathologist to do the reading and do the assay in a very short period of time. I mean, hours. This is so simple that to not be done correctly, I think, is just really a terrible situation. I think they're doing much better, by the way, in the UK. In the UK, they had trouble doing the ligand binding assays back in the old days. It was hard to get ice to cool the specimen in the operating room and so forth and so on. But they have really been, I think, some of the leaders in developing of immunohistochemical assays, and they have quality control programs there. And I think the assays coming out of England now are going to be much better than coming out of the States. So we have to do something about this.
What can an individual practitioner do to sort of protect their patients in terms of making sure they have accurate ER and HER2 assays?
That's a really difficult one, because they're going to go to their pathologist in their hospital, and their pathologist is going to say, hey, look, I know how to do the assay. I'm doing it correctly. Well, in fact, they may be doing a correct assay. That is, they know how to stain a slide for ER and HER2, and they may know how to score it, at least they think they do. But in fact, the results they're getting are different than those that have been published by groups that have looked at large numbers of patients and quantitated the ER assay and gauged the ER assay according to the results of the patients. And this is so important that I don't understand why hospital labs don't just use one of the several published studies and use exactly their technique and exactly their quantification of the assay and use that. That would solve the problem to a large extent, but they don't. They use their own assays. Maybe they can get the antibody cheaper, the primary antibody cheaper. I know that's one of the hospitals here in town. It's what they do. They get the cheapest antibody they can, and that's how they develop the assay. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Is there any security in knowing that these assays have been done by a central or reference laboratory?
I'm not sure, because we haven't done detailed quality control of all the laboratories like we used to do back in the old days when they had ligand binding assay. As you know, Jim Whitliff at the University of Louisville was funded by the NCI to be a quality control laboratory, and we knew that an assay done in one laboratory was going to be roughly the same as an assay done in another because of that quality control program. But that hasn't been done for immunohistochemistry. I think the big laboratories, probably whatever assay they do it relatively well because they have large volumes. But still, the issue remains. How did they determine their cutoff value between ER negative and ER positive? That's where the real problem comes in, because I think some of these lower values that many people are calling negative are really positive. And so unless they have validated their assay against a large number of patients treated with endocrine therapy, I think it's just a problem. Maybe there's going to be less laboratory technique error in some of the big companies that do this a lot, but whether they're giving you the right answer or not, I don't know.